D-Mace, Vingen, and Donick, 102.5 The Game. Derek Mason, Adam Vingen, and David Janes here with you. Silly Underdog Picks coming up in roughly 20 minutes. And if you want to represent the people, be listening for the cue to call in the next segment. Because if you represent the people and you win, you can win a pair of tickets to see Matt Rife at Bridgestone Arena on Saturday, October 24th, 2026. So it's a long-term play here.
Okay.
But if you want to win a pair of tickets to see Matt Rife at Bridgestone Arena next October, be listening for the cue to call. But before we get there, let's welcome in our friend Jonathan Hutton from Hot Mic with Hutton and Withrow. Hello, Hutton. How are you?
I'm wonderful, guys. How are you?
We are doing well. Let's talk about something that really pissed off Derek Mason in the first hour. Let's talk about brand bias, Jonathan Hutton,
sure.
Because that's what seems to be happening, or at least Blake Topmeyer of USA Today wrote a column talking about how Vanderbilt is a victim of brand bias and the college football playoff rankings. Topmeyer specifically called out Notre Dame. Do you think that Vanderbilt is indeed a victim of brand bias in the CFP rankings?
They're going to be a victim of, in my opinion, and I don't want this to happen, I think they're going to be a victim of the SEC at the end of all of this debate. I could easily see five teams from the SEC. I don't think the College Football Playoff Committee is going to put six in, and then half the field is SEC. That's not going to happen. That's the reality of it. And here's what they're going to say, and it's a low-hanging fruit argument. They're, you know, Alabama didn't get in last year, okay? And they're going to say, I can hear it now, that Vanderbilt, their best wins came against teams that ended up doing, you know, something less than what was expected, all right? So it was Virginia Tech at the beginning of the season. Then, they beat Missouri and South Carolina. But they're going to argue, or they're going to make a case for Vandy not getting in. I can hear it now. That the quarterbacks for both of those teams left the game. And, you know, Tennessee lost to Oklahoma. When that happened, I felt like that really hurt Vanderbilt, because that's the resume that they need Tennessee to have at the end of the season. I talked with Diego Pavia last night, and I brought this up to him, and he's like, man, if we don't get in, I'm going to, you know, raise some hell. You know, and I was like, I don't blame you. A two-loss SEC team and a two-loss Vanderbilt team. I don't think it's about Vanderbilt's brand. I think it's the association with the Southeastern Conference, and that half of the field, if Vanderbilt's in, to me, there would be six teams. Because I just don't see, especially if Oklahoma wins this week at Bama, I think it's going to be very tough for Vanderbilt to be the sixth team from a conference in there. And maybe we don't even see an ACC school get in. That's also a potential that would help. But Notre Dame has been loved by the AP poll and the committee. They were 0-2 and still ranked in the top 25 at the time.
Derek Mason was quite passionate about this earlier.
But like I told
you. Do you guys agree with me about that?
No, I agree.
I hadn't thought about the SEC oversaturation angle. I had not considered that,
but I did. I do believe that Vandy does suffer from not being that brand that people recognize, because, yeah, I know Alabama didn't make it last year, but there were circumstances around all of that, and there still was this big push to get Alabama in. It wasn't until the last day it was like, okay, Alabama's not in.
Right.
And everybody still, or still a lot of people angry and upset. And we're talking about SEC people, because they wanted another SEC team in.
Sure. Well, instead of some of the, you know, at the time it was SMU.
Exactly. So they are setting this up, and they've done it already. They did it with the Florida State 2 years ago, or 2 or 3 years ago, but I get it. The field wasn't as big, but yet and still, they kept them out. It seems like each and every year, they go by the seat of their pants. 1 year's this, 1 year's that, 1 year, no, strength of schedule, no, we don't care about strength of schedule. When did you beat them? Oh, where are they ranked now? So it's this, all of this moving around on a chessboard. They don't have anything set in stone. Like, this is what we are looking at, and we're not changing it. Because every year, they've changed it.
They are able to these packets that they get with all the analytics and all the numbers and all, you know, anything that's on a piece of paper, they can take into account anything they want to out of that packet. And correct me if I'm wrong, but I recall they changed the strength of schedule metrics on how they're going to do this. Look, it benefits the SEC because they got three teams in last year. This would be five. Because like I'm looking at Texas. We know the top three teams in the SEC with A&M, Bama, Georgia, Texas, Oklahoma, Ole Miss. Like I'm just rattling off teams right now. They're not going to have 12 teams and 11 of them in the SEC. That's the dilemma they're in now. And look, other schools are going to be jumped too. Vanderbilt's only got two games left. Of course, they're not playing this week. Not saying that hurts them or that probably helps them that they can move up and some of the teams lose. But Oklahoma and Texas control their path. Vanderbilt needs help. They need other teams to help them along the way to have the best resume they possibly can. They need Tennessee to win at Florida.
Hutton, based on the 12-team CFP bracket projection that came out last night.
Yes.
Which potential matchup, either first-round matchup or quarterfinal matchup, has you salivating the most? I will tell you mine.
Okay.
Texas A&M versus Texas Tech in the quarterfinals.
Texas Tech, who jumped they jumped Oregon in this poll, in this most recent one, I believe. Let me pull up this bracket. I want to go with this because how many SEC teams, Adam, are hosting?
In the first round, Georgia is hosting, and Ole Miss is hosting Texas in an all SEC matchup.
Yeah. So look, this is far better on here comes brand bias right now. This is far better than the bracket was last year.
Of Texas Tech beating Miami and then going to Texas A&M. That matchup, I would definitely be on my couch watching that.
I don't think Miami gets in. They have their losses in the conference. They have the seventh best odds, in the conference to win the ACC, but they're the highest ranked team in the ACC.
What's the explanation for that?
They love Miami. And
brand
and
bias. There it is.
Well. But it's also who they've won. They love Notre Dame, and Miami beat them.
Yep,
that's what it is, because they're counting Miami as a check mark for Notre Dame, even though that's a loss, and it's helping Miami in this. But it doesn't help them in the conference, where right now Duke has a better chance, just based on percentage chance, to win the ACC than Miami does. Because they have these 17 schools and all these weird tiebreaker scenarios, and Miami's not going to get it. So if you're going with the top five conference champs and the highest ranked, it doesn't necessarily have to be the ACC that's an automatic qualifier in this. Georgia Tech, they have a tiebreaker to Duke. It's weird. They have a four-loss ACC champ, and I don't think that would qualify the ACC to get in. Again, all this madness, but I tend to think Miami wouldn't be in there. They're now as the 11 seed, but that wouldn't be the case, because they would be a different ACC team in there as being the champ if they're going to be ranked ahead of Miami.
To me,
I hope that makes sense.
No, it does.
Because you would need like JMU. Mm-hmm. South Florida, I believe those teams could be ranked ahead of Miami, or not? Excuse me, of Duke or Georgia Tech or whoever by the end of the season. It wouldn't matter if Miami's ranked ahead of them because they're not the ACC champ.
But all of this really, I think, boils down to three teams, really two, but I say three because I think UT has to continue to win. To make that
right.
if Vandy beats Kentucky, to make that last game a meaningful game. And yep. then it's yep. Texas and Notre Dame. It's almost as if they're giving Texas enough runway to basically skid off at least one more time, before they stop. Because if they lose another game, it seems like they still want to put them in. So then that would leave Notre Dame. People are trying to throw Utah in there or BYU in there. Utah ain't got nothing to do with this. Nothing whatsoever.
No.
This is about those two teams that one Vandy lost to, and the other, their losses is getting counted as wins to them, meaning Notre Dame.
Well, and now they are ascending, right? They got Pitt coming up, and that's their last big matchup. Correct me if I'm wrong on that.
Yeah, that is.
It is, because Notre Dame, after going to Pittsburgh, plays Syracuse and Stanford.
There you go. It's their last opportunity. And so, like, this is they can put a stamp on this by beating a ranked team this week. And keep in mind too, in the ACC, I know they play the ACC schedule. That's not helping the ACC schools. Just Miami, but they're the 11th spot in the bracket, but they're 15th in the actual rankings. They're only the 11th because of they're currently the best team out of the ACC, but they won't be the ACC champ just based on the percentages that we talked about. It's going to be weird. It's going to be very strange. And we still may end up with some of these smaller schools, Mace, that are, the Cinderellas that are in the playoff, and Vandy could be on the outside looking in.
Two things for you, Hutt, and because it was prompted by, I think, one of our callers about the rankings, where they were.
Yeah.
And why don't they just not rank, period, until the first iteration of the college football playoffs? Because to me, it tells me anything before that really doesn't mean much. In that first iteration of the college football playoffs, it doesn't mean a whole lot, but it sort of tells a story. So my thing is, get rid of the rankings and just start ranking when you're ready to go with the college football playoffs. And then also, because it does seem like Vandy, and there may be some other teams, Indiana may be hurt by this. They probably was hurt by it last year. Brand recognition. Why don't they just understand that in today's football, because of NIL, damn brand recognition, because these kids are maneuvering to different schools, and you can have a Vandy that hasn't been good, you know, for decades. I'm talking about consistently.
Yeah, yeah.
And then they get some NIL players, they get some transfers, and all of a sudden, the last two seasons, this team has developed into one of the best teams in college football as we sit. So this old thinking of brands, you might as well throw all that away, because these kids don't care about brand no more either. So why should we care?
Right. Well, so, okay, let's start there. The rankings benefited Vanderbilt up until they lost the game, because they were a top 10 team. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They're in the playoff at that point. And so you would keep them in if they just win that game. And I know the comeback at Texas and all that, but which was crazy. But that's the one paired with the fact that Oklahoma won at Tennessee. The rankings, that I don't like the preseason top 25.
Yes. Okay.
The AP poll is very similar in some cases, very similar, especially the top 10, maybe by a spot or two that's maybe flip-flopped to the college football playoff committee. A little bit different because you have to pair them with the automatic qualifiers and all that at the end. But I don't mind the rankings. The college football playoff, the unveiling every week, that's a TV show.
Yes.
You know, like, and the rankings help boost numbers for TV prior to the college football playoff rankings through the AP poll. You know, that's – no one mentions – we sometimes mention the coaches' poll, but not much. You know, it's the AP poll. I just don't like the preseason poll. I don't know how you remedy this, because that's where you really don't get the benefit. If you're ranked low, you have to win your way up through the season. But if you're ranked high, you typically don't fall that fast. You know, Florida State did, Clemson did, but it took three losses for Clemson to fall out. Meanwhile, Tennessee has three losses, and they remain in the top 25, and they were the only three-loss team for a few weeks or a couple of weeks that remained in the 25. It benefits some. It doesn't benefit all. But, I mean, I do want – if I'm a team, and I do want to know where I stand, you know?
Okay.
The thing is, though, like, I don't see – it's hard to make a case for A&M if they're third to be first or second. How do you jump the teams if you're the committee and it's weekly? How do you argue the next week that A&M should be ahead of Indiana when you didn't have them there to begin with? Right?
Yeah.
It's tough in that regard. And I'm telling you, six teams out of the SEC would be crazy, but we can add up to eight right now and get Vanderbilt in.
Jonathan Hutton from Hot Mike with Hutton and Withrow has been our guest on D-Mace, Vingan and Donick. He joins us every Wednesday at 5 o'clock. Hutton, great stuff as always, my friend. We'll catch up next week.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to underdog picks. And I wonder if anyone's taking Texas this week.
Okay. Well,
I don't know.
The people's representative, you said the same thing. I wonder if anybody's going to take Auburn over Vanderbilt last week. Yeah, the people's representative did take Auburn, and it was close. We'll see. We'll see what happens. 615. Thank you, Hutton. 615-737-1025. It is time for Silly Underdog Picks. We'll welcome in Chris Sanders and Hal Gill. I will act as commissioner once again in Willie Donick's place as he is hopefully fast asleep. It is tomorrow in Stockholm right now, 12:17 a.m. So I will take over as commissioner once again. No nonsense will be tolerated, especially from Chris Sanders. But we'll welcome Chris Sanders and Hal Gill to the program. Silly Underdog Picks coming up next. Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 102.5 The Game.
Derek Mason here. If you've injured yourself in a motorcycle accident, go to LawTigers.com for your free case evaluation. Even if your accident was months ago, you have nothing to lose by calling Law Tigers. Insurance companies want to pay out as little as possible, or frankly, nothing at all. Law Tigers make sure you get the compensation you deserve and doesn't get paid until your case has been settled. Look, they understand how much your bike gear is worth to you, so they will help you get it all repaired or better yet, replaced. Law Tigers is the resource the motorcycle community turns to when it needs. So whether it's to support you in an event or if they see you broken down on the side of the road, with Law Tigers, you'll never ride alone. So call 1-800-LAW Tigers, or visit LawTigers.com. Law Tigers is powered by Freeman and Fuson, and you can find them in Nashville, located at 2126 21st Ave South. That's Law Tigers, Tennessee's motorcycle lawyers.